Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, hour number two, the home team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future. Elevated, Chris and Jeff with you till 7. Braves and Cardinals are underway. St. Louis, two outs, nobody on. Top half of the first inning. Already the home plate umpires making a strong case for robot umps as the a pitch in one in a certain spot is a strike sometimes, and then other times it's balls.
Well, you so, what did you say? The over-under was
a, it's 9.
Well, if that zone's going to be that tight, it's going over.
But the thing is the first pitch to Goldschmidt was in the same spot that balls 2 and 3 were to Fowler to lead off the game, and it was a strike then. So if it's one of those zones where you have, like, no idea what it's going to be, it's –
And I get it that the umpires are going to have nerves too, and hopefully he settles in because all you want is consistency.
You know what won't have nerves? Robots.
And I mean, the thing is, all you got to do, you have the track man, and it just buzzes you. You still have the ump back there, but it just buzzes you if it's a strike or not. So, anyways, but what you worry about there, and I used to see it in hoops all the time. And now, virtually every game's televised, it's not as big a deal. But if there was a big game on TV, I would always say it. Just beware of the away-from-the-ball call. There'll be, that's a moving screen by the trailing ref from 40 feet away. So the TV announced, oh, what a keen eye by official Joe Blow there.
Yeah.
To make that call from 40, which had nothing to do with the play. And in baseball sometimes, good gosh, we see it when the dogs play. If the game's on, like, regular ESPN, oh, my gosh. It's like Carl Ravitch came and did one of our games. Oh, my God. This home plate umpire
showing
is going to try to have the finest zone in the world. So somebody watching will say, oh, my gosh, why isn't this guy in the majors? As opposed to just, look, just call strikes. Just if it's close, it's a strike. Keep the game moving. Because you know what happens when you call strikes? It encourages pitchers to throw strikes. And what does it encourage batters to do, Chris?
Swing it.
Swing the bat. Thank you
very much. The basketball ones that get really like the theatrics with the charge and the blocking
TV
calls
Teddy
are
Valentine,
the good ones.
Yeah. Baby.
All right. The 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. They are headed to the bottom of the first. It is scoreless. 3 up, 3 down for Dallas Keuchel in the top half. So, Jeff, before we get too deep into Game 1 of the National League Division Series, let's start today's 5 at 5 with the Braves-Cardinals series and size it up. Who wins it? Who do you like? Do you like St. Louis? Do you like Atlanta? How many games does it go?
I'm going to say Braves in 5. I do think when you look at certainly recent history, going back 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, now pre-1991, I'd say – the edge was just slightly with St. Louis.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. But I think when you look at history, you look at just the talent of these teams, the way they played, Atlanta does seem to have the deeper lineup and a little bit more star power at the top. St. Louis has probably got a little bit deeper pitching. But there's probably more pressure on Atlanta because the Braves are at home. And, you know, it's one of those deals – I don't think they're feeling it this year, but if they don't win this series, then I think next year you're at a point where, all right, just making the playoffs ain't going to cut it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I almost feel like it not getting to the LCS this year would feel a little bit of like a disappointment, yeah.
I agree, too. Now, before the season, it felt like Atlanta was kind of the consensus number 3 choice behind the Nationals and Phillies. But Atlanta went out and had a great year. To me, you look at the move, moving Acuna to lead off was big. But when they got Keuchel, I remember you and I talking about this, that I thought that was a great message to the team of like, all right, we think we can go do this whole thing. And then Atlanta just took off, and the bullpen acquisitions after they got in the flow of things started doing really well. So I agree with you. I think if they don't make it to the NLCS, it's a disappointing year. But I think this will be a tightly, tightly contested series. So I'll go Braves in five.
Yeah, I mean, you worry a little bit about some of the injuries Atlanta had toward the end of the year. I'm not crazy. It is funny like how long a baseball season ends, but a guy who spent a good chunk of the heart of the summer demoted to the minors is now starting game two of the postseason for them tomorrow.
And that's the crazy thing. You could have a guy who was in Fulton Evans' situation. Now last year he was their best guy. And you could have a guy who was an all-star having a great year, has a shaky month, and then all of a sudden, boom, the roles flip-flop. I mean, it is such a long season. And that's why I think more than any other sport, postseason baseball is different.
Yeah. Like I mentioned in the last hour, I mean, the one thing you get when you think about these two teams, well, the Braves won 98 games and the Cardinals won 91. If you look at their expected one loss record this year, the Cardinals would be 92-70 and the Braves 91-71. Mm-hmm. The Braves are 28-12 in one run games and also played 19 games against the Marlins. So, yeah, I think when you look at that, this series is more evenly matched than maybe the perception of it is, because the Braves did have a better record during the regular season and do have the home field advantage getting to at least host three of the five if it gets to that. But Atlanta needs to win this one, because Flaherty got a .91 ERA since the All-Star break. The Braves are pitching Fulton Evich tomorrow instead of Soroka. So tomorrow the pitching matchup edge is definitely in the Cardinals' corner.
Well, what amazes me, Chris, and Atlanta went to the postseason, the stretch went 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5. That's when the streak ended there. So after the advancement to the NLCS in 0-1, I guess what they lost to the Diamondbacks that year, and then they've been in a playoff since then, maybe four or five times, whatever, but that's the last time that they won game one. That's staggering. And in a 3 out of 5 series, I just think game one is of paramount importance.
Yeah. And in this
case, if you're at home.
And I think especially so tomorrow when you consider the pitching matchup that's in store. Acuna draws a leadoff walk, so the Braves in business in the bottom half of the first inning, and Albies at the plate now, so we'll keep you posted.
Here's one of those where regular season is different than postseason. I'd be tempted to bunt here just to try and get on the board, try and move him over. You give Freeman and Donaldson a shot to get him in during the regular season. There's no way I do that because Albies might hit one out of the yard. But I just think getting that lead in a game like this, the importance of game one in a short series, it might lead you to do things a little bit differently.
Well, this is a big question now with Acuna, where he dealt with what turned out to be a groin. Is he going to be a factor in the impact when it comes to getting on base and stealing? Because I get with a guy that had 37 stolen bases, I'd rather try to steal than just surrender an out on purpose.
We'll see.
Or I'll just let Albies hit a 2-run homer.
That'd be good.
That'd be better too.
But see, that's always one of those. That's where it's much more fun to manage in the rearview mirror. Like if he hits into a double play, told you should have bunted. If he hits a home run, you're like, see, I told you the bunt was a stupid play.
If you play for one, that's all you're going to get.
But one's better than none, but not as good as two.
Yeah, but so here is Acuna now. We're first inning of the first game. And kind of putting that to the test, where he was hobbled and just got shut down at the end of the season. He has drawn several throws to first already, though.
And by the way, just looking at this reminds me of Foley Field when we play those mid-afternoon games. That left field, Sunfield, Foley Field. We can see on the television here just that ground ball bramer that they hit to Swanson in the first. I mean, that left side is absolutely just getting roasted right now.
Yeah, and it's like 100 degrees.
Just unbelievable.
All right, moving on in the 5 at 5. Jeff, Georgia will play Tennessee on Saturday night. I've looked. I've tried. Tennessee has one win. They defeated Chattanooga back on September 14th. They have, I don't know if you've heard, they lost at home to Georgia State earlier this season. By only 8 points. You are right. You make a good point there. They only lost to them by 8 points at home. Is there anything Tennessee does well that you think could potentially hurt Georgia Saturday night?
I think Tennessee, they've got some good players. They're good at wide receiver, and Georgia's got the injury questions at corner right now. you know, they're alternating quarterbacks in practice. I think we're going to see the freshman and Garantano. They've got a pretty good-looking freshman back that they can mix in there with Chandler. And, I mean, the defense at times for them has looked solid. They played awful against Georgia State. They played good against BYU. And they hung in there. Florida just pulled away in the fourth quarter from them. So Tennessee's got players. There's familiarity with the two coaching staffs. If Georgia goes out and plays a good game, Georgia will win the game. What you worry about, though, is Tennessee, a big reason they've struggled this year is just a lack of execution. You go back to the Florida game, they drop a touchdown in the end zone, wind up turning it over, not scoring. What you worry about is, okay, this game, they catch that ball. And then Georgia has a malfunction in the punt game. Then all of a sudden, those guys that nobody's given a chance to, they get some confidence going. Things get tight on your sideline. That's what you worry about. But again, one of the just, I think my favorite stat that what Georgia's done, going back to that opener against App State in the 2017 season, the Bulldogs have now won over that period, 24 plus 4, 28 games. 25 of those 28 wins have come by at least 14 points. The three that haven't, two pretty good programs, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame. So Georgia's come out ready to play, and I think you'll see the Dogs come out ready to play Saturday night.
Acuna just caught stealing.
See, I told you they should have bunted.
So there's the there's maybe the first test of wasn't healthy at the end of the year. And
well, Molina does have a howitzer back there.
He does.
He's got a great arm. Now, you know, Albies will get a hit now.
He'll probably homer right now. Yeah, he's the count's hit. Full on him, and he walked. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a bad move by Acuna.
Should have bunted.
Yeah. Now that he got caught stealing.
reverse
well,
managing.
If he had bunted, though, Albies wouldn't be on first right now.
Although maybe he would have taken the pitches wisely and drawn the walk.
Yeah.
You never know.
So
well, now do you run Albies? Do you just double down?
Just keep going? Well, maybe Freeman should bunt now.
No, you don't want to do that. No.
Unless they got that shift on where there's no one on the whole left side.
Yeah, then just put one in. I think Freeman's about to get an extra base hit.
Well, he didn't have one against the Mets. See, he's another one with a question where you're like, how about those bone spurs?
Now, how about that pitch being
called? How about robot umps? Can we get a robot ump?
Well, I'll tell you what, Georgia's pitching coach, Sean Kenny, he is in your corner on that one, my friend.
Oh, good.
We had many a conversation about that last year.
Yeah. It's like, you know, all right, so you're going to call this pitch a ball today. All right, we'll adjust. No, now it's a strike. Oh, okay.
Well, we got into a good conversation about it nearly an EBH. But he had brought up this one ump that irked him. That he said, he missed. You know, we talked to the league. They said, well, the guy missed 37 pitches in a game. That's not really that bad in a game that's got 250. And then we started thinking, all right, well, let's break this down. Let's say, okay, out of those 250 pitches, let's say you got contact between hits and foul balls on, 60 of them. You know, just foul balls. Okay, then let's say you got swings and misses on, 50 of them. All right, so now you're down to 140. Then let's say you got, 40 pitches that are just, no-brainer, way high, way low, trying to get to chase, hit by pitch, whatever. So then you're really down to 90 to 100 pitches that are questionable. And Coach Kenny's point was, you're missing 37 of those. That's a horrible percentage.
Well, and also, over how many at-bats? Are some of those in the same at-bat? Or is it if that's 37
right.
separate at-bats where you're swinging like a count going from, say, 1-2 to 2-1? Or even the difference between being 1-0 and 0-1 is enormous.
I think the biggest one is the 1-1 pitch. Because the 2-1 count is a hitter's count. The 1-2 count, you're dead as a pitcher.
Yeah, and then 2-1, you're even maybe like, moving runners
and to me, I think a lot of pitchers would rather have a 1-2 count than an 0-2 count because you feel like, well, God, I got to waste one here. So
yeah.
I think the 1-2 count as a pitcher can be even better.
So if that's over 37 separate at bats in a game that might have a pitch that was it's good. Freeman didn't strike out looking, but
so let's say there's 75 at bats.
Yeah, but
in
the pitch was just called a strike a moment ago. But this time it's a ball.
And the thing is what Brame's saying with the track, man. I still think you got to have the ump to make the call. But there is a way you could get an immediate buzzer to let you know if the pitch is within said zone.
Yeah, and there goes Albies. And there's a hit.
Extra base hit, but
Albies will be on third. He was running.
Told you Freddie'd come through.
Yeah.
You know what? If they'd have bunted, they'd have a run in right now.
Yep.
That is no double play. All right, is Donaldson going to squeeze here?
I smell
no.
Three-run homer coming up. Look, runners on the corners, and Mike Maddox, the Cardinals pitching coach, is already on the phone to the bullpen.
That's the beauty of the postseason.
Yeah, you can't wait.
You know, that was the one thing that made me think maybe they should have put Tehran on the roster just in case you get off to a terrible start. Or, I mean, it happens a lot if there's like a 16-inning game.
Yeah, I know. Or even just because you feel bad, like Tehran wasn't on the roster.
He was the opening day star.
For like, 8 years in a row something? It's nuts.
Crazy.
All right, Jeff, moving on in the 5-5. The Clemson Tigers, fresh off a one-point win at North Carolina. If they're undefeated, are they in or out of the playoff?
I'm afraid they're in. They would not be in my book if they're two great SEC teams, and you got Ohio State and Oklahoma sitting there.
All right, let's just do like wild hypotheticals.
Okay.
Undefeated Oklahoma, undefeated Ohio State, SEC championship game winner is undefeated. Undefeated Clemson or one-loss loser of the SEC title game. Donaldson is – error. Donaldson just hit – Donaldson just grounded into what should have been a 4-6-3 double play. Instead – no one was out on the play.
You know who wouldn't have made that error?
Ozzie Albies.
Tom Herr.
Tom Herr would not have made that error. So it's 1-0 Braves.
I'm telling you what, you get a break like that, you got to get another run in here.
Yeah.
You got to capitalize and make a pay. Because I think you're at a spot now, if you're St. Louis, you give up. Couldn't you get a hit or walk?
Acuna walked, and then Albies walked. Okay. Freeman singled, and then that should have been a 4-6-3 inning-ending double play.
You go through an inning, you give up against a great major league team, two walks, and make an error. If you only give up one run, you feel like you got to win. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta needs to make them pay.
And that's, Wong didn't play like the last 10 games of the season for them because he had a hamstring injury. So the first ball hit to him in the playoffs now, he boots.
I'll find you.
Yeah. So Braves got runners in first and second, one out, and they lead 1-0. All right, Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, we'll wrap it up with it is October now. Things start to happen in college football in October. This doesn't look like the strongest schedule of the season because of the multiple bye weeks now. There are a lot of teams that over the next couple of weeks, you look at a lot of conferences and there's a lot of the word off. In fact, you got, what is it? I mean, two, three, four, five, six. Six of the teams in the SEC don't play this week. Give me a team that's in the sketchiest spot, perhaps, on Saturday.
A team that's a contender already?
Well, yeah, like a legit team that maybe could be our first shocking upset of the season. Have we had a shocking upset yet? We haven't, have we?
I think the most shocking game wasn't an upset. It was the manner of the game. To me, that Wisconsin-Michigan game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That thing was 35-0.
Like last week with Clemson and North Carolina, that wasn't stunning me watching it, just seeing as how Clemson had really just been – I mean, they looked like they still have championship hangover.
God, I'd love to have that one.
I would too, but
– just I'd love to be sitting here apologizing as the defending national champions – beating a team by only one to go 4-0.
Yeah.
But no, you're exactly right.
But if you have championship hangover in the SEC, you're going to lose multiple times.
Well, we always go back to this. LSU won it in 2007. The next year they went 7-5.
Yeah.
Ohio State played for the championship against LSU in 07. The next year, you know, they go – or I'm sorry, they lost to LSU in
– Yeah, 07.
Yeah, yeah. Then the next year – or I'm saying when Florida beat them in 06,
they
go 11-1.
Yeah.
That would not have happened in the SEC. They'd have gone like 8-4,
yeah.
7-5. Yeah, that's just the way it happens. You had mentioned this earlier, so I'm going to steal your thunder a little bit. It's a very sketchy game for Texas going to West Virginia. That's another one kind of like Oklahoma State. You really don't need to drop that one there. I mean, that could knock you down a notch. And I'm going to go back to the Big Ten, Chris. I mean, you talk about a good program that's there a good bit. They hadn't really played anybody except their in-state rival. But if Iowa goes and wins at Michigan, all of a sudden they're a player in that Big Ten West. And if you're Michigan, you're like, oh, my gosh. But we beat Army by 3. We got smoked by Wisconsin. And now we lost to Iowa. So I would say Michigan and Texas are the two teams. And granted, they're both playing Texas is playing a good opponent. Michigan's playing a really, really good opponent.
Yeah, Texas, though, is on the road at West Virginia. They have not covered six of their last seven the week before they play Oklahoma. And go figure with Tom Herman, too. Their last nine games favored in Big 12 play. They're only 2-7 against the spread. So, I mean, the number's only like 10, 11 points.
If I was a Texas fan, I'd be a little nervous.
And this is another one of those games where Texas, on its way to being back, these are the types of games you've got to start winning, but these are the types of games that you're also, you've been prone to just as likely lose.
Well, and that's why I look at Georgia in 2017. We've talked about this a million times, to blow out Vanderbilt. Then, granted, Florida had a bad team in 17, but the week after beating Florida, we make an early mistake, still beat South Carolina 24-10. You know, sluggish coming out against Kentucky, but we got beat down by Auburn, roll Kentucky, 45-13. You know, they're just like, oh, my God, I was so scared about Tech and with SEC. No. Went out there and buried them 38-7. That was, to me, it wasn't just that season. The winning the Rose Bowl, the SEC championship, it was the manner of those victories. Games that Georgia had lost or games that the Dogs had won in the past. But I go back to 2012 Kentucky. That Georgia team was, you know, an inch away from beating Alabama, winning the SEC and playing for the national title. We beat a horrible Kentucky team coached by Joker Phillips 29-24.
Yeah.
And I mean, those are the types of games that – if you're going to win it, and I get it, we were still, did the Kentucky game matter at the end against Alabama? It's just kind of a law of averages type deal. They're not all going to go your way.
No, that's why Georgia's, you know, doing what it's been doing the last couple seasons, just clubbing everyone they played, except for the two games against Notre Dame. Even the losses have all been decided by at least two touchdowns, right?
Except for one.
Well, in the regular season. I'm talking about the regular season.
Yes.
Yeah. The only two close games Georgia's played in the last three regular seasons.
Notre Dame.
Two regular seasons plus is Notre Dame.
Yes.
All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system.
You only got one, Raymer.
Solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.